Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Purple. Yes, the Purple mattress. You're going to love Purple. And right now, you guys, our listeners, get a free Purple pillow with your purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text GHOST, G-H-O-S-T, to 84888. The only way to get this free pillow is to text GHOST to 84888. That's GHOST to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019, at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who are the ghostly little girls playing with a young boy in a haunted home? And how did one man seem to have knowledge of people that he had never actually met?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. This program supported by you, by viewers like you. Remember that on PBS?
Yeah.
It is. It literally is. And this is where you kind of got to step up and not just go, that's nice. You sign up to become an EPP, and we give you stuff, not just your regular episodes that you get. You get stuff. That's what makes it so much better. Yanni on VHS. You're going to get the full Yanni VHS set. This is a wonderful performance.
Did they really give that away?
I remember that.
Oh, God.
I totally remember that. What you get now is you get the EPP bonus episodes. As always, brand new ones every single week. You get access to all that, all the exclusive material, advanced episodes. If you become a yearly EPP, we got these. They came in. Our Real Ghost Stories Online.
Those are cool.
USB drives, and they are packed with 10 hours of exclusive bonus material. Some of my favorite interviews, but the exclusive stuff on here is a full hour special of Richard in Chattanooga with never before heard calls. It's quite an episode. It's really interesting. I was blown away when I was making it, and I really wasn't expecting to be. I thought I was just going to be playing back audio we heard, and I'm like, wait a second. We never aired this call. And it's not an EVP in the background, and we're talking about Richard. That's our dog. And also, EPP bonus episode exclusively for this this drive. It's yours when you become a yearly EPP. So sign up at ghostpodcast.com. If you're a monthly, go and upgrade to a yearly, and you'll get that cool bonus there. So lots of ways. You can do monthly if you want to, and you get all the other stuff. But that's our little extra thank you if you want to become a yearly member. So, Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm wondering how much we're going to hear the dog making noise. I don't know. He, right before we started, he started going,
He's there not he in pain. He's just mimicking noises.
He's getting really good at. We should check.
He's singing for us.
That's him.
He sounds like he's hurting, but he's not. He's trying to get us to throw his bone, and when we don't give him the attention he thinks he needs, he starts to whine a little bit.
Cool it, Cujo.
Yeah, so that's what it is. He's literally standing here looking at us with puppy dog eyes with his big bone in his mouth, like, throw it, throw it.
Anyway, so it's not EVPs if you hear it during the show today, just so you're all aware. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. We would love to hear them. Let's jump over to our first story today. It says, I know this might sound unrealistic, but I met up with this guy named Chris, who I've known for quite a few years, and he's someone I think is trustworthy. But I don't want to mention it before because I'm still a little skeptical if the story would be authentic. He's legit. He pays his bills, doesn't seem to have anything to gain from all the things that he has told me. He's mentioned that during some part of his life, he basically woke up and it was like he was time traveling. The first thing I thought of was the movie Groundhog Day, but it wasn't anything repeating. But I'll go ahead and elaborate what happened to fill the gaps. One day he woke up going from being an adult in 2012 to back in high school around the late 90s. He recalls waking up, his mom told him to get ready for school, and he thought it was a dream. We joked about it a little, but he told me it took him about a month to fully understand and accept his fate, even a few years of depression. So originally, he recalled turning around 30 years old, and he's a kid again. He had to attend school all over, even going to the front office to get a copy of his class schedule. Things are different, like some alternative timeline. He was even telling me how sports results were different, like Lakers won more. He had never heard of Tom Brady. Blockbuster lasted longer and was similar to pizza delivery, where they would drop it off at your house, and a few other things. Everything else was similar. Tragic events happened. Same presidents and all the movies were the same. Then he brought up the point that knowing what to expect backfired on him. He wanted to meet all of his friends, and it turned them off. Like he recognized someone and accidentally said his real name when the person used an alias online. And the guy thought he was a hacker and they'd never became friends. Then he told me how originally he hated school, dropped out to join the military, but had a seizure in boot camp, so his occupation was different. Most of his family went in the military, so his grandfather insisted he didn't apply for disability. Then he became a longshoreman and did that work for most of his life, and he knew too much about it. I found it interesting, him telling me about these things, so this time around he never joined the military, but went to college, and he mentioned not being aware how severe he had a knee injury and got it taken care of when he was in college. He told me it was pretty cool knowing the girls who had a crush on you in high school, but I'll go ahead and mention a few things changed. His grandfather died much earlier, then I guess he tried to prevent some of his friends from doing drugs, and he had a close friend who committed suicide, so he tried to alter that, but he couldn't. That's why I mentioned how it reminded me a bit of the movie Groundhog Day. I didn't meet him until after, it's not really repeating. He mentioned it happened around 2012. Met him a few years later, so I'm not mixed up with that stuff. It was also pretty cool when he basically proved that he worked for a hotel. He knew all the staff and stayed there. He knew everybody by name, freaked some of them out because whatever previous life he had been good friends with them and apparently worked a few years there. He knew too much stuff. We used to service elevators. He knew the code to get free parking. So it was obvious he worked there at some point. That was the only cool stuff. Outside of that, he was highly depressed and pretty reclusive. He knew when his family and friends were going to die, even his pets, and told me it wasn't until he reached the age where it was no longer a surprise when he felt like he could live his life. He had mentioned different life choices. I guess some of his friends got him in trouble, but this time around he avoided that. It was strange having him explain to me that he never experienced it, but he did before and didn't want to repeat it and did other things. Instead of him being on probation over one summer, he spent his time being around some of his family members who he knew wouldn't be around much longer. There were times he mentioned regretting a few things, like he should have gotten in trouble because it's what made him be a different person. I guess the first time he got in trouble, some people admired him for being humble about it. Really bad, his two older friends put the blame on him for stealing a car, and he took the fall for it. I didn't fully understand, and to some degree don't believe it completely, but he mentioned people felt sorry for him. But now that he could do it over, he avoided it. So people viewed him differently. Maybe not a negative thing, but he blended in with all the other students when originally people admired him for biting the bullet, and he got a reputation for not telling the cops what happened. That is the best and the last I'll mention about Groundhog Day. But he had a few years of feeling suicidal, seeing all these things happen and making different decisions. I'm only able to be a friend to him, but he was always trying to look up other people who experienced the same thing as him. He felt really alone and scared about it. On a lighter note, he did piss off that psychic Sylvia Brown, who was on the Montel show. And this was before the whole time-lapse thing. He was pointing out that she made wrong predictions, called her a fraud, but she actually died a year after he did that, and he didn't expect it because his time was 2012 and she died in 2013. So remember, he hated her and actually paid money for her psychic readings. I think that explains enough that he knew too much about what to expect. So here's a fun part that he remembered from a few years he went on ghost hunts. I believe I mentioned to you before, I brought cameras and other equipment to do this myself, but I told Chris that I used to do that stuff. So we got together one night. He basically said he's experienced it before and not to joke too much about it because they exist. So he ends up telling me he knows someone. Only problem, he never met him yet, so it would be strange. We had planned the next weekend, and he found the guy on Facebook and treated the situation like buying junk off Craigslist, but he obviously must have known the guy a long time before. I'm the guy stuck in the middle, acting like I didn't know anything. So he met this person named Nick who claimed his grandparents' house was haunted by his dad. He pulled out an older family photo book. We saw pictures of him, found out that he died in a DUI car wreck. But he also showed us photos of his dad in the background with a faded look on them. It was like trying to put a black and white photo with something obviously color in it. They argued a bit. Chris had mentioned the guy's sister and mom, stuff he shouldn't have known, and Nick got paranoid about it. Apparently joked a little bit and said it was on his Facebook. We're already freaked out going ghost hunting, and they relaxed. We didn't get any photos. I think Nick felt disappointed because he's done it before where you at least get an orb, but we didn't find anything. I drove Nick home, thanked him for hanging out, but I could tell he was disappointed we didn't have any good photos or anything. No big deal, but Nick ended up calling Chris that night and wanted to go somewhere else. I'm not too sure how the conversation went, but I had Sunday off and told him I wanted to roll with him, so we ended up driving to this city called Santa Ana. There's this legend about a tree stump that you can't cut down. People tried to burn, use a chainsaw, but for some reason you can't get rid of it. There's some legend that there's a demon in it that won't die. It's where we ended up going to. We didn't mess with the tree stump, only took a few photos. We had to be careful because the owners of the property told us it was all right to be on the property, but not to make noise. Due to that urban legend, people were bothering them, so we tried being quiet and polite. On the drive, Nick's girlfriend kept calling and wanted him to go back, so it rang a few times when we were there. He called her around the time we planned to leave and left a message. Then on the drive home, she kept calling several times. I was driving, so I wasn't sure what was going on, but we ended up at Nick's house, and his girlfriend was violent and slapping him. I didn't want to get involved, I just wanted to go home. She used speakerphone, and you hear Nick's message from her voicemail, and you could hear her saying something like, "Yeah, we should get something to eat before we go." The Nick saying, "We'll be home in a bit. We're a few miles away," and I didn't drive. And you hear someone weird, a loud voice speaking some different language. I guess it was Greek or Latin, but we had to be quiet. That voice was deep and loud. None of us heard it when we were there, and I'm not sure if Nick is married to her or if they're dating, but she got upset and was slapping him. So we ended up leaving. I just remember driving home and asking Chris if he heard that voice when we were there. He didn't hear it, but he told me that Nick was always sensitive to that stuff. He basically said, anywhere Nick goes usually makes things happen. It's probably why he was upset we didn't experience anything the first time. It sounds strange because we talked about it more. He regretted not meeting Nick because, however, he lived his life before. They were close friends, but now they're strangers. That's why I had to mention his whole life thing that happened. Ended up hanging out with Nick again. I guess he was cool with the maintenance workers for some apartments that got checked out once where a girl committed suicide. The story behind that was a girl told her mom that she was a lesbian, and her mom told her to pack up and move, but instead she hung herself. The worker was telling us what to expect, but it was during the day. We didn't see anything. A little after 7 at night when Nick showed up. Then he started to hear noises, something where you make up an excuse that the house is settling. Oh, and for further reference, for people who take photos, turn off the flash. We tried to take a photo of this shadow in the house of a girl dangling, but it was just a wall. We saw it, the shadow of the girl swaying a bit, but not on the camera. I'm sorry this is so long. I didn't want to neglect anything in this story and this very unique experience. I think it was Scott Bakula.
Quantum Leap.
It was Scott Bakula, Quantum Leap. It was one of those things. Okay, back to the ghost stories in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter of the program today, Purple. I know it sounds like Sesame Street. We're not brought to you by the color purple. We're brought to you by Purple Mattress today. These guys, they set the bar to a new level. You hear a lot about mattresses out there today, and there's a lot of them on the market. But the Purple Mattress, they've reinvented it. I didn't think it could be done, but it has been done. And they set the bar to a new high. How? Why? I'll tell you about that in a second. But first, I want to tell you how I feel after sleeping on the Purple Mattress. I'll be honest, mattresses that I've used, you kind of wake up, oh, it's sore, a little bit kind of stiff, kind of like, you know. You spend a good deal of your life in bed. You want to feel good. I've been waking up kind of hot and sweaty, all that. Then I got the Purple Mattress. Okay, it's incredible what it can do. I didn't know this stuff it even existed. It was invented by rocket scientists, by the way. So there's some amazing technology involved with a mattress. It's so comfortable. It stays nice and cool at night. It's different than anything I've ever felt before. I don't wake up in pain anymore. I get the best sleep I've ever had. Okay, so how does it do it? Why does it do it? This is important, okay? The Purple Mattress, it's going to feel different than anything you've ever experienced because it uses a brand new material that was developed, like I said, by an actual rocket scientist. Okay. It's not like the memory foam that I'm used to. You thought memory foam was good. This is like great. It takes it to a whole new level. The Purple material feels extremely unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time. It keeps everything supported while you're still feeling really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool as well. Ends up giving you kind of like a zero gravity feeling. It's amazing. It works with any sleeping position. It's awesome. 100-night risk-free trial. If you want to try it for yourself and prove to yourself that this is legit, if you're not fully satisfied, you can return the mattress for a full refund. It's backed by a 10-year warranty, free shipping, and free return. So if you're going, 100 nights, that's great, but what if I don't like, got to return it? Free shipping, free returns. You have nothing to lose other than starting to get a great night's sleep. Free in-home setup and old mattress removal as well. You're going to love Purple. Right now, this makes it even better. Okay, you guys, you can get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text GHOST to 84888. The only way to get this free pillow, no other way to do it, text GHOST, G-H-O-S-T, to 84888. That's GHOST, G-H-O-S-T, to 84888. GHOST to 84888. Message and data rates may apply.
I would be curious to talk to anybody who knew him in 2012 to see if he suddenly had a personality change that would, you know, could be somehow linked to his going back in time and redoing his life from high school forward.
Okay.
Because he ended up being a different person. So if he suddenly, you know, I'm not saying like he disappeared from 2012 time and went back, you know, physically. His body, I'm sure, was still here. But mentally, did his spirit and mind go back in time? Because his personality would have changed.
I'd also like to check out his medical history.
I know. I'm just saying, with all the weird shit we talk about.
Sure.
There's a first for everything.
There is. And I'm not just saying that it's not, a thing where this could have been the thing. But it's a very interesting story as far as what he's had happen to him or what he claims has had happened to him. I think what you're saying, that would be interesting to find out about that personality shift.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to see how, you know, how he changed from how he was, because it would be otherwise unexplainable.
I wasn't expecting even a ghost story attached to that. I thought it was just going to be this guy as a time traveler.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of the weirdness of it.
Well, we talk about time slips. It just sounds like he got stuck in a long-term one that he had already lived in.
It does. Have you ever wanted to do Groundhog Day, like just for a little bit of time, just for the hell of it? I think it'd be fun.
No, I haven't. I've never wanted to redo any day.
I would just do it to mess with people, but I don't. I would want to know when it's done, mm-hmm. so I know how many days. So I don't not like screwing up the last one.
Mm-hmm. No, not me.
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, there you go. I don't think you have to worry about it. I don't think it's ever going to be something like, "Hey, you can get Groundhog's Day now," or someone's going to get it for you like as a gift certificate. Like, guess what? You got a Groundhog Day certificate.
You know, when I was a kid, I loved the movie Peggy Sue Got Married. Did you ever see that?
I think we tried watching it once on YouTube, but we never got it to look.
Well, she hits her head at her, or she passes out or faints or something at her high school reunion and goes back to being in high school and gets to redo it. It kind of reminded me of that in that, you know, some of the decisions you make are different.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really thought of anybody ever feeling that way.
In real life?
Yeah.
Yeah, outside of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Quite a story. I don't think we've had one like that before.
No.
So thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony. This is Caitlin calling from North Carolina. I have a ghost story. I guess it's kind of a ghost story. It's the only paranormal thing that's ever happened to me. I love listening to paranormal stuff, but it doesn't really happen to me, but this did. So I think it was like 2013. My husband, my now husband and I lived in Boone, North Carolina, which is right on the edge of the Blue Ridge Parkway and the Blue Ridge Mountains and stuff like that. So we had to go over across the state line into Tennessee to go to a store or something like that. It was the closest one nearby. And in order to go to this store, we had to drive through the Cherokee National Forest. And the Cherokee National Forest is really cool, and it's huge, and it's really tranquil and nice and very foresty. But anyway, it's kind of famous for these weird happenings, such as like devil's circles, where there will be a circle in the ground where nothing will grow and animals won't go there, and there's like no explanation as to why. It just is like a circle of dead stuff, and lights happen in the mountains, something called the Brown Mountain Lights, unexplained light phenomenon. So anyway, it's kind of a interesting nexus of the universe. But so we're driving through the Cherokee National Forest, and we're on our way back, and it's dark outside, and it's one of those really windy roads where it's like every half mile there's a turn, and so you can never really see very far ahead of you, and we are the only ones I'm gonna say 50 miles around, because I don't think you're allowed to really like live or have buildings or whatever in this national forest. So we're pretty lonely out there, and it's dark. It's like 9:30 p.m. or something, and we're just trying to not careen off the side of the road and hit a tree. So we're trying to be careful, but it's like every mile and a half, it's like tree, tree, tree. But anyway, so I'm driving, and all of a sudden we come up on this. On these two dogs standing in the middle of the road. And it was really bizarre because, like I said, there's no like residential areas around here at all. I mean, whatsoever. These dogs were standing, they were kind of like, perpendicular to the road. So one of them was standing in front of us perpendicular, and the other one was standing facing the other way, same perpendicular. One of them was like, it was almost like a wolf looking type dog, like a pointy eared dog, and it was gray and black and brown and stuff like that. And the other dog was white, and it was like a greyhound dog. And it was so weird because, like I said, these look like domestic dogs, but there's literally no one around, and they don't have on collars or anything. And so we're just sitting there, stopped in the middle of the road at like, you know, 10 o'clock at night in the middle of this forest. And there are just these two dogs standing there, and they're staring at us like not... I've seen deer kind of like in a headlight look. It wasn't quite like that because I dimmed the lights on the car. They were looking like at us in the car. And my husband was with me in the car, and I was like, oh my God, these dogs are going to get hit. You know, they're going to get like hit on the road. And he was like, don't stop. He was like, just keep going. Don't stop. And I was like, are you sure? And I'm like, I beat the horn and they don't move. They're just really just stone standing there staring at us. And so I creep up around them, like in the other lane. And I'm like going very slowly around them. And I have my window down and I'm like trying to shoo them from the car. And John is just like, don't stop, don't stop. Just keep going. Don't open the door. Don't do anything. And they won't move. And they're just staring at us. And it was really freaky. But so we get back, and I'm retelling the story to someone that I know. And I, as I'm telling the story to him, I realize that this same thing has happened to me before. And it was at my grandmother's house, which she is now passed on, but she lived really out in the middle of nowhere. And I recall one evening we're sitting there and we're surrounded by like fields and stuff, and we're sitting at the edge of the porch really late at night, and all of a sudden these two dogs come up to the corner of the yard, and they don't come in the yard, they come up to the corner. And just like what had happened before, one of them was like a black kind of wolf looking dog, and the other one was like a white skinny looking dog. And me being a kid, I mean, they looked like domestic dogs. Me being a kid, I'm like, oh, look, cute dogs. I want to go pet them. And my grandma is just like, no, don't, just sit there. Just don't move. Don't say anything. Just stay still. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. And so they stare at us for a second, and then they just move on. Like, they keep going. So I was like, oh my God, that has happened to me before. So I am just like, now I'm like, I'm wondering if there's some kind of like paranormal thing after me, or maybe a curse or something that I don't know about. My mom's family, which, you know, that was my grandmother's side. They have always kind of low key been into like superstitions, and they would do weird things like, throw the washcloth under the house to get rid of your cold and stuff like that. So, and there might be some kind of like heritage stuff there with Gypsy or something like that. But I have no idea. But it was really the only paranormal thing that's ever happened to me, but it freaked me out for sure. Anyway, love the podcast. Thanks for listening. So long.
I don't know that it's so much like being haunted by these dogs. I wonder if they're like spirit protective dogs.
How so?
Well, they've kind of shown up in her life a couple of times, and they haven't done anything to harm her. Mm-hmm. And dogs that you don't know that are large are kind of, you know,
intimidating,
but they haven't done anything. But, you know, maybe they slowed her down for a reason
unknown to her.
Yeah,
I could see that being a possibility.
I don't know.
Pets coming back.
They do. I mean, that's one of those interesting things of, you know, we were talking about that the other night of like ghost pets and stuff. And my parents' cat like showed up for a couple weeks and then kind of gone. And like, did it just see the light? Did it like, oh, well, I can get out of this house now and go anywhere I want. Like, thank God I didn't want to be here for all these years. I mean, I'm wondering, you know, I mean, it was a happy cat.
Sure.
You know, I think most cats are totally cool with that. I think if cats wanted to get out, they could get out. Mm-hmm. If they were like, fuck it, I'm out. There's plenty of ways to escape and stay away.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's interesting. It's like, especially like where you hear like a coughing up a hairball and stuff and it's been dead for a week. Is that a residual hairball? Or is that the cat consciously? It's over there coughing up a hairball in the afterlife, which kind of sucks because that means there's a lot of, that means not everything is, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's residual or not.
Still get hairballs and shit. I don't want to get hairballs anymore. I mean, I'm sick of it.
I mean, after Lena passed away, we heard her scratching at her collar.
We did.
And I bet that was just a residual. It's just a noise we were used to hearing.
Mm-hmm. Is it in our heads, though, or is it out there? We're audibly hearing it.
I don't know. That's what's hard, because so many people have that, but it could be they're just used to hearing that noise.
Mm-hmm. And your body's almost like conditioned to like, oh, it's going to happen now.
It's kind of like if you hear a siren for a long period of time, even after it's off, you still hear it.
Sure. It doesn't explain residual hauntings, though, where the person was never there, never experienced the sounds or the sights. And now they're living in this apartment or this house, and the sounds and the sights of that house are repeating itself. That's not your body going, oh, I'm ready to hear this again.
No, no, that's the true residual haunting. No.
It's interesting. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Nicole, and I wanted to share a story with you. It's about my son and my father. My father passed away about 12 years ago. And never met my son. My son just turned 4. When my son was, I would say, almost 2, we would be in the bathtub, and he would be trying to, like, put his head or under the water, or, like, not his head under the water, but laying down to float, I should say. And he would be talking to somebody. He wasn't talking to me. And he would be like, no, but I can't, you know, and like somebody was trying to kind of coax him in to learning how to float. And I should have told you the significance of that. My dad was a very avid swimmer, loved swim, taught me how to swim from a very early age. And it was one of, you know, the things that if you think about my father, you would think about how he loved to swim and be in the water. And so, you know, I thought, well, that's strange, you know, and I kind of chalked it up to, you know, maybe wishful thinking on my part. But he did it several times, you know, to the point where then he started to try to put his face in the water and hold his breath. And, you know, of course, I got involved with that, started teaching him, because that's kind of scary, you know. But anyways, and, you know, he got it and he learned how to hold his breath underwater, and, you know, not his whole head, but, you know. Anyways, fast forward to probably a year later, and, you know, of course, there's pictures of my father around, and he would grab it, and he would just be like, Grandpa, Grandpa, you know, so he really knew what my father looked like. And the summer last year, we would go to a big community pool where there was, you know, bleachers and, you know, other people. And we were swimming, and one day he looked up at the bleachers, and there were no men in the bleachers. And it was like, there's Grandpa. Look, there's Grandpa, Mama. And I was like, what? Where? And he looked over, and he waved, and he smiled, but there wasn't anybody there. And, of course, here again, we're at the pool. And he did that a couple times. And then he was like, well, probably 20 minutes later, where'd Grandpa go? And he would ask about my father. Like, when my mom would leave the house, he would go, well, where'd Grandpa go? And it was almost like my dad was with her. So when my mom left, my dad left with her. I don't know. I always, and my dad, I knew that my dad was going to pass. And we always talked about it. We were really into the paranormal and all that stuff. It was something we shared. And I told him that when he died, that he better come back and haunt me. And he never did. So I don't know if this is his way or it's my wishful thinking, but either way, I kind of thought it was cool and wanted to share it with you guys. So hopefully you play this. If not, I still told the story. So have a good one. Bye-bye.
I think he's watching over the grandson, just, you know, when there's water involved, keeping an eye on him and making sure, you know, to try and kind of teach him how to swim. And I think that's really cool.
Still there for swim lessons after death. Wouldn't that be interesting if he had to jump in and do something? All of a sudden the splash comes in the pool and there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Then what is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ghost Splash.
Ghost Splash.
That could be a movie. Wasn't there a movie called Splash?
There was. There was a movie called Splash.
It was like a real, it was like a 70s or 60s movie, wasn't it?
I think it was early 80s.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Tom Hanks was in it.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
What was it about?
He found a mermaid and fell in love with her, and it was Daryl Hannah. And then she went back to the ocean. I think he went with her.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
You're really good at answering those questions.
I remember a lot about movies.
I don't.
I pretend to not know when I don't want to answer you.
Because you know more.
It'll lead to a song.
Was there a song from that movie?
No, there wasn't, but are you sure? That's why I answered it. I don't remember any special song from Splash.
It's on the Splash soundtrack. Splash. Let's see. I, like, every movie back then had a soundtrack.
Yeah.
Today, like, it's not so frequent that, like, every movie has a soundtrack to it, but, like, in the 80s and a good portion of the 90s, it seemed that, like, no matter what, the soundtrack, and there was a lot of songs that were actually big hits that came out of that era from shitty movies.
Yeah.
Where you're like
The ahead. Big Chill had the best soundtrack and it was a shitty movie.
What was on The Big Chill?
The Big Chill. It was about a group of friends that get together after one of their friends commit suicide. They were college friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a bad movie. For as many good actors and actresses that were in it, it was sucked. But the soundtrack was really great. It was old. It was a lot of Motown.
Splash. It might be one of those where it's I'm not even getting it pulled up here on Amazon Music
because nobody wants the Splash soundtrack.
I think it might have been one, and I found like the track listing, but judging by the track lengths and the titles, I think it was one of those where it's just like, well, we actually didn't have anybody do any songs for us. It's just the score.
Oh,
where it's, you know, that's all it is.
Yeah.
So if you want to jam out to the score of Splash. Because who doesn't? What was the other movie you mentioned? The
Big Chill.
The Big Chill. There's a group called Big Chill.
That's not it.
Here we go, The Big Chill. They made a 15th anniversary soundtrack. Oh, yeah, it is. But the okay, so these weren't even, but these were just like...
They weren't made for the movie.
No.
No. It Are you talking about songs made for movies?
Songs that were just straight off the soundtrack that, yeah, that
more
were...
More like that Starship song from Mannequin?
Yes!
That's the most... That's the example I could think of.
Anyway, was it Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, or was it a different one?
I think so. No, it's Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now.
Okay. Murray Head. One Night in Bangkok.
Yeah.
From Chess.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
I've never
but that,
seen.
That was, I thought, actually a play first.
I believe it was.
But you know what? I found out that was actually written by one of the members of ABBA.
Well, that makes it 10 times better now.
Well, it has that kind of sound to it when you it think does. About it that way.
It is interesting when you find out things like that. Like, oh, well, that's why it sounds like a Hall & Oates song or something. You know, it's right. Like, oh, Daryl Hall wrote it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then some like years later, like, oh, it actually was an album cut of theirs for years. But it was never a hit. And then so-and-so redid it. And you find it on Pandora. So... Are you? What?
He's going to eat my pen. I dropped my pen.
Oh, uh-oh. That would be blue ink all over a white dog. That'd be interesting.
I had a coworker once that chewed on a blue pen religiously. And it broke one time and he didn't know it.
Oh,
and
God.
He had blue all coming out of his mouth. It looked like he had a Smurf. It was really...
Good luck getting that shit out.
Yeah. It was like, how do you not taste that?
I never actually take that. I think I have had one break on me, but I caught it before. Mm-hmm. I have since broken my pen chewing habit.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Like I was getting voicemails from general managers and bosses at radio stations. Stop chewing. We're going through too many pens. And like almost every station I worked at, there was a coffee cup in the studio and it had the pens in it. And I just ended up putting like a sticker on it that said Tony's Chew Toys. Oh. And no one would want to touch the pens. Everyone would complain about the pens. You can ask Carol about it. Carol will talk about it. She's like,
so this is recent history.
This is like 20 years of my life.
Oh, yeah. So this is not like when you were a teenager. This is like as you were a full grown ass man doing this.
This is 14 to like 34.
God. So, okay.
Yeah. It'd be like, I would just chew on pens religiously and I wouldn't even realize I was doing it. It was an addiction to pens. And I don't know why, but I mean, I remember walking in the studio and Carol will be so mad at, she's like, can you stop chewing on the pens or it's gross.
It is gross. It's gross for you. It's gross for them.
Carol's like never, ever confronted me about anything in any sort of like mean or negative way. Other than that, that's like the one time she's ever been kind of like crass with me of just like, kind of upset, like stop chewing on the pens. You have to stop doing this.
There you go.
So there you go.
Needed but a pentervention.
I'll remind her about the pens when we record later today, and so they'll be later in the week on we'll relive the pen nightmare. But I used to like. I remember the first time it became an issue. My first boss, or it was the general manager of the station that left me a voicemail, and I aired it. Oh, and I put it on the air. Because I'm like, this is funny. I'm going to put this on the air. I had like no filter. I was 15 with no filter.
You still have very little filter.
And a radio station. So there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Sign up to be an EPP, an extra podcast person, on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com or ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and a lot more. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jen, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.